February 20th, 2007. I am ecstatic. One of the guys from the center came out with me today, and he was holding a sign as I was holding my dream. It is so much easier and so much funner to be on the street holding a sign when somebody you like is standing next to you holding a sign too. When we were looking for a place to stand, we walked past an old woman panhandling. I asked D if he ever gave money. He said, "First, I look at their shoes. If their shoes are better than mine, I don't give. But if their shoes are worse, with more holes, then I'll give a bit." The dream I was holding on that day was I dreamed, as part of my uniform, I had to wear knee-high socks. The top was to be folded down just so, to display the Canadian flag. You had to wear a blue tie tucked into a loop, the tip shaped like a maple leaf.
So I was on this mountain, and it had jagged peaks, but it was all miniature so that like I could go and actually climb one of the jagged peaks in the foreground that I saw. And there was stations, like there was a little chapel, there was places where you could go and look at these shrine statues and symbols and whatever. And there was a little ravine between me and the sort of the little plateau area where you could start looking at stuff, where the chapel was. And somehow I got across that ravine, and then I had this baby in my hand, but the baby had no body; it was just a head, and but a good-looking head. And so I picked the head up, and the baby's asleep, but the baby starts waking up, its eyes start fluttering, and as it's waking up, organs start coming out of its neck, its esophagus, and its lungs, and its stomach, and I'm holding it up vertical so the organs don't get tangled as they come out, but they slowly come out like a machine, dropping its components out, and then wakes up, and it starts talking. It's talking in an adult voice, and my dad is standing right there. My dad was there, like he was there all along. And and then the baby said, "My vertical ear is towards you." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Oh, well, you know, your dad's not making sense, but you are." And I said to my dad, "Well, doesn't this prove that Noam Chomsky's theory of innate grammatical structures, you know, actually is underneath what we're doing?" And he laughed. And then something happened. And then I said, "Well, what are we going to call you?" And it said, "Well, we should wait till we get home so we can look it up in the Book of Names."
March 13th, 2007. This is the second time that Dee came out with me on the street. When we're standing together, Dee often shares with me what it's like to be homeless. He told me the story of how late one night he and his friends were out walking the streets and they saw a woman sitting alone on the steps of a mission for men. The woman told Dee she had buzzed to get into the shelter, but they had refused and they wouldn't even open their door for her. She said she didn't want to go back to the shelter for women because the other women were mean to her. At first, Dee didn't believe her story. He didn't believe she was homeless. He said her clothes were too nice. But then she explained to Dee that she had worked as a secretary, had fallen ill, lost her job, could no longer pay her rent, and was evicted from her home. She was too proud to apply for social assistance, but she had no money and no place to go. That night, Dee and his friend took the woman into their room to sleep, and in the next morning they talked to their landlord to see if a room could be made available for the woman. Dee said eventually the woman became the janitor of the building. The dream I was holding next to Dee that day was, I dreamed rain fell from my eyes.
J'ai déjà aussi rêvé que j'étais, après le décès de ma mère, que j'étais sur ses genoux. Je faisais jamais ça de son vivant, mais on était sur un sofa et je me suis mis la tête sur ses cuisses. Elle était assise et elle s'est mise à me flatter les cheveux comme si j'étais un enfant, mais c'était vraiment dans le temps présent. Et je me suis réveillé puis je pleurais. C'est, y a quelque chose de très délivrant dans ça, parce que ça aide à laisser sortir des émotions. Quelque chose que j'ai pas la facilité de faire dans la vie de tous les jours.
March 27, 2007. S from the St. James Center said, I hope your friend will be okay. I replied, thank you. And I meant it, because even though it was a dream she was referring to, the dream reflects something very real from this side. And the dream I was writing was, I dreamed I was going to meet a man who knew how to fly, except now he's in the hospital because he can't sleep.
I met Diana in my dream. Yeah, in my dream only. Not a person. I never met a person, but in my dream, I talked about life and that with going to McCartier when I was young, Mackay Center, and visiting my aunt in the townships. Yeah, in my shepherd years ago. I talked to her about that. I talked to her about no friends. She's a friend. She put her arm around me, and she comforted me. And I tell her I like her better. I didn't hear Stephen Hawking in the... Stephen Hawking heard her in the night, but I don't like him as much as her. He wouldn't have the sympathy that she would have. He's too involved with black holes in the universe, and I find he kind of talks nonsense. Yeah, I do know a lot about Stephen Hawking, about the way he treated his wife and that. Like, he's in Geographic. I met him, I'm talking about black holes in the universe and that. I prefer Lady Diana over Stephen Hawking. Her, I used to have pictures of Stephen Hawking. Last year I threw them out. But now I have pictures of Lady Diana. I prefer Lady Diana over Stephen Hawking. I thought about it. She was a real humanitarian. She did a lot of things. The landmines and children and different things. My dream is about Diana. Diana. It's Diana. It's not Elvis Presley, it's not Tom Cruise, it's not John Travolta, it's Diana.